Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Center for Science and Culture. I'm Robert Crowther, and with fall right around the corner, you know what that means. It is back to school time. Joining me to talk about what kids will actually be going back to when they return to their science classrooms is Jonathan Wells. Welcome, Jonathan.
Happy to be here, Rob.
Regular listeners to ID the Future probably know all this, but for our new listeners, let me just sort of give you the deal with Jonathan. He's a double threat. He has not one, but two PhDs, one in religious studies and one in molecular and cell biology. And those are not just any PhDs. They're from a couple of places you probably know about, Yale and UC Berkeley. Apropos of our topic today, Dr. Wells authored Icons of Evolution. He called out incorrect and outdated evidence that is often presented for evolution. It's in classrooms and curriculum and biology textbooks, and he really took those down in his first book, Icons of Evolution. Then more recently, just last year, in fact, he wrote Zombie Science, which shows how modern evolutionary theory is still propped up by exactly those same outdated and debunked pieces of evidence. So I guess one way to open this up, Jonathan, is how do these bogus bits of evidence keep coming back?
Well, in my opinion, they keep coming back because evolutionary biologists don't really have much better to present. The goal is to convince students that evolution is true, in fact, that evolution is a fact, and the best evidence they have, at least that's understandable to high school and college students, happens to be exaggerated, misrepresented, or in some cases actually faked.
And that's what we're going to talk about today. One of the icons you debunked in Icons of Evolution is making yet another comeback. That's the peppered moth. Can you tell us a little bit about that and update us on how and why it's back now?
Sure. The classic story, or actually the fact, the historical fact, is that before the Industrial Revolution, most peppered moths in England and Britain were light-colored. Then, with the Industrial Revolution and pollution filling the air, the tree trunks turned darker for a variety of reasons, and the light-colored moths became less common than a dark variety, known as melanic moths. And the phenomenon got to be known as industrial melanism. The theory was that it happened because birds could more easily see the light-colored moths against pollution-darkened tree trunks, and therefore would eat the light moths and leave the dark ones, and so the percentage of dark moths increased. Well, it certainly did increase. The question is why?
Yeah.
The story began to unravel in the 1980s when biologists discovered that they couldn't find peppered moths on tree trunks in the wild, with rare exceptions. They decided that the moths rested during the day somewhere where they couldn't be seen, perhaps high up in the trees.
Yeah.
This cast doubt on the classic story, naturally. If birds couldn't see the moths at all, camouflage was not going to matter. So the story fell into disrepute, but at the same time, textbooks published the story along with photographs of peppered moths on tree trunks. And the light moths were very clearly exposed on dark trunks, and the dark moths clearly exposed on light trunks. The problem is that almost all of those photographs were faked. Dead moths pinned in place, or moths that were placed there long enough to be photographed before they flew off.
Wow.
The story was propped up with fake evidence in the textbooks. And almost every introductory biology textbook had these photos back in 2000. After Icons of Evolution, many of the textbooks dropped the photos, although not all. They're still around in some. And the story, as I say, fell into disrepute.
Yeah.
So the students going back to school this fall may very well be exposed to this story, may even see some of those old faked photographs in their textbooks if the textbooks are old enough. but the students should know that the story is not as clear, to say the least, as the textbooks make it out to be.
So some of the textbooks did update what they were telling students, and they removed the photos themselves, but did they remove the entire discussion about peppered moths, or was that left in the textbooks?
It's actually still there in many textbooks. It's interesting to note that even if the story were 100% true, it wouldn't tell us a lot about evolution.
Right. It's just adaptation, right?
Well, it's a change in the proportion of light and dark moths in an existing population. So that you have light moths and you have dark moths. And if the shift is due to natural selection, you've got evidence for natural selection, but it's not producing anything new, just a change in the proportions.
Yeah.
So it's no big deal, even if it's true.
That is interesting that it's kind of irrelevant because it doesn't show any origin of a new body plan or anything like that. So it's just really a pretty minor change. So why is it so important to continue, one, spending money doing research on it, which they're doing, and we'll get to that in a moment. And I mean, why is this story so important? It seems like they must be able to find other things that they could show that is stronger evidence or something. Why keep this one and keep going back to it?
Well, a Canadian textbook writer was asked this question back in 2000. And his answer was, well, this is a very visual example. And young students respond well to visual examples. And so even though we know it's not true, we use it anyway, and we'll get to the details later.
Wow. So they continue using this as an example because they like it, whether it's true or not. And not only that, but they continue to try and figure out how to get some evidence to support it, to show it. That's pretty much like hoping, you know, I mean, they're just desperate for it to be true. They obviously know it isn't because they keep researching it. And you just told me about a new article, brand new study that's been done and is being talked about. How is this any different than the previous studies?
Well, the most recent study, which was done in England, was a study using mostly digital analysis, computer analysis, demonstrating that, in fact, light-colored moths are more exposed on dark tree trunks, and dark moths are more exposed on light tree trunks. Well, fine. But if the moths don't rest on tree trunks normally, then the whole study is irrelevant.
Right.
And yet the authors claim that they have basically proven that the original story is true.
But that doesn't really matter in the bigger scheme of things because it doesn't really do anything to prove Darwin's original theory.
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't even prove the old story about peppered moths because, as I said a few minutes ago, if the moths don't rest normally on tree trunks, then the whole analysis of their camouflage is irrelevant.
That's just really funny because they're spending a lot of time and effort on something that seems like not really that important.
Yes, they are. And obviously, it seems to me there's something else going on here.
Yes.
Other than empirical science. There's a desire to indoctrinate students in this evolutionary story, which actually turns out to be a story promoting materialism, the idea that the only realities are material objects and the forces among them. So this is a vehicle for indoctrinating students in materialism. And this happens to be a very visual tool, even though it's false, in that indoctrination.
What can parents do then? I mean, your kids go to school. They have to go to school. They should be going to school. You expect them to learn things that are true in all their classes, science and otherwise. And here they're getting things that may be faked, certainly misleading, not really relevant to the overall discussion. And that is being used to prop up this idea, like you said, of materialism. So what can a parent do to help their kids going to school facing that?
Well, you're right. Children do have to go to school in some form. And I think it's important for them to learn biology. I'm a biologist myself, and most of what the textbooks contain is pretty accurate. It's just when it comes to evolution that things go off the rails. And I do think students should learn about the theory of evolution because it's very influential. But they should also know that much of what they're being taught is false. The best thing I think a parent can do is bring in supplementary materials when it comes to evolution, at least.
Right.
And one good source of those materials is the Discovery Institute website. That's discovery.org/ID. And there's a wealth of information there that parents can use to offset the indoctrination that their children will get in public schools.
And I would add that in addition to the website at discovery.org, there are a lot of good books, two of which at least you wrote yourself, Icons of Evolution and Zombie Science, which would help parents and their kids to understand the realities of some of the things they may be presented in their science classes. And there are others, too, by other authors that touch on these same subjects, and even some curriculum that Discovery has worked on, such as Explore Evolution, which presents the case for and against Darwinian evolution without getting into anything else. So there are resources out there. And I think on our website at discovery.org, we do, in fact, have 10 things you can ask your biology teacher.
Yes, those were turned into bookmarks back in 2000 and caused quite a stir.
Yeah.
Even in France, they resurfaced in France a few years later, and the French National Academy got bent out of shape over them. By the way, to find the materials by me that you mentioned, parents can go to www.iconsofevolution.com. Icons of Evolution is one word.
Jonathan, thank you for being with us today, talking a little bit about the resurfacing, unfortunately, of the peppered moth. As always, a very interesting discussion.
Happy to do it.
And for our listeners, if you are interested in learning more, for Jonathan's books, iconsofevolution.com, and of course, other resources that are available at discovery.org. And you can most easily get his books, just buy them, Zombie Science and Icons of Evolution, online at amazon.com. All right, from the Center for Science and Culture, I'm Robert Crowther. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.